Well, I'm going to deal with a subject tonight that I'm sure that all of us either have had or sometime you will have need help in this area, because we're just human. We're humans. We're going to sin, commit sin, and going to be confronted with sin all around us. I'm going to preach about putting away your hurts before they become hates. Now, we all need help there, don't we? Yeah, we do. So look with me, please, in the book of St. Matthew to begin with there. In St. Matthew chapter number 5, I'm going to read verses 43 through verse 48. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through verse 48. When you found your place there, turn over to the book of Ephesians and the epistle to the Ephesians, chapter number 4. I'm going to read verse 26. And then verse 31 and 2. Ephesians 4, 26 and verse 31 and 2. Along with Matthew 5, 43 through 48. These, of course, in the words of Jesus in Matthew, he said this. He said, You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Then over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 26, Paul kind of, I guess you'd say, he alludes to this verses, but he adds to it also. He says this, Ephesians 4, 26, be ye angry, he says, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Then in verse 31, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Good words, aren't they? Good words for us today. Good words for any day, isn't it? Surely they are. You know, over the many years and even recently, when I speak to people about coming to church, of all the answers that I get, here's the one that disturbs me the most. When I hear somebody say, preacher, I don't go to church anymore. And I have to say, well, why? Well, I got hurt in church. And I ain't been back since, and I ain't going back to church. Them bunch of hypocrites up at the church. How many times have I heard that? Well, I feel like saying, and sometimes I probably have said, well, wait a minute. Just because you go to church and just because you're a church member, a Christian, doesn't mean you won't get hurt in church. I promise you, sometime or another, probably we all have either been hurt, or if not, you will be sometimes get your feelings hurt in church. Amen? Amen. It's just going to happen, isn't it? Well, some of the meanest people I have ever met in my life have been in the church. Really? I've never been treated as bad sometimes in the world by people as I have sometime in the church. And brethren, these things ought not be, should they? No, they shouldn't. I've never had death threats outside the fellowship of the church. But I've had at least two, probably three death threats from people who said they were church members. I wonder what church they belong to. Amen? But I have. No doubt I have. Now, so we'll have to say all together, saying amen. We've all either been hurt or we're going to be hurt, or we already have been hurt. Amen? It just happens, doesn't it? That's human nature. Luke writes, and he said, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But he said, woe to that person through whom they come. So we all must agree that we've either had been hurt or we are hurt today or we're going to be hurt in the future. So it's going to apply to all of us at some time or another, past, present, or future, right? Here's what I'm going to say. It's not if you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt sometimes. It's what you do when you get hurt that determines the outcome of being hurt. So what do you do about it when you get hurt? Do you do what people sometimes tell me, preacher, I don't go to church anymore. I got no confidence in the church. They just abandon church and forget about church and just go out and live out in the world. Do you do that? No, we shouldn't. Or do we try to get revenge on the person or persons who have hurt us? Many times I've seen that happen, haven't you? Feel like they got to take up our own banner, you know, and we got to get this thing made right, and I'm going to make it right. Well, that's not the right attitude either. Abandoning the church is not the right action. Trying to get revenge on those who may have hurt you, that's not the right kind of attitude. So what do you do? If you don't learn to handle hurts, they'll handle you. And if you don't learn to handle hurts, they will soon turn into hates. Will they not? Certainly they will. Now, how do you handle it? These are good questions. They need some answers. Because we all face this at some time or another in our lives, don't we? Well, if you don't handle the hurts that we encounter, we're usually going to end up hating the person or persons who cause that hurt to us. That's pretty much a given, isn't it? That happens if we don't learn to handle it. All right. Now, how do you put away hurts before they become hates? We need to know. We all need some help. We all struggle sometimes, I believe, with that, don't we? Amen? We surely do. Well, let's just go back to God's Word and see how God will help us learn to put those hurts away before they turn into hates in our life. There's about three or four things I want to share. First of all, the first thing we ought to do when we get hurt is to let them go. Let them go. Ephesians chapter 4, look what it says in verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What do you mean, preacher, let them go? I've been hurt. I can't let this go. I have been hurt. I feel like I've got to respond to the person who hurt me, or I've got to respond to the situation that I'm in right now. I've got to retaliate some way, somehow. I just can't let it go. But you know what? The Word of God says let it go. Amen? Let it go. Well, how are you going to let it go? We need some help in it, don't we? Here's what the Bible says. In Ephesians, it says this, let it go immediately. Did you get that in verse 26? Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That means let it go before sundown. Put it away. Let it go. Get rid of it. Let it pass on before sundown that day. The same day you get hurt, if you don't start letting it go and putting it away, it'll soon turn to hate. It really will. It's imperative. It's absolutely necessary that we let it go. Well, I've talked to people over the many years who have been hurt for one reason or another, and they've carried hurts in their lives. I've called it excess baggage that we ought not carry, but I've talked to a lot of people, and they carry hurt over things that happened 10, 20, 30, 40, sometimes 50 years ago. They just will not let it go. Maybe tonight, I don't know your heart. Maybe there's something in your life that you've been hurt about, and you need to let it go before the sun goes down this evening. The Bible says let it go. Let it go immediately But notice what else it says. We need to let those things go completely. Verse 31 there in Ephesians. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want you to see that little small word in that verse, all. Did you get that? Be ye kind, verse 31, let all bitterness, not some bitterness, not just the real severe ones, not just the ones you can't get over. Let all these things, he says, let them go completely. I bet you've heard this too. When you talk to somebody about being hurt or whatever they need to do, they'll say like this, well, preacher, I'll forgive them. You know what's coming, don't you? But I won't forget it. That's not forgiveness. That's just not forgiveness. You can't say, I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget it. Oh, no. You're harboring right then something in your heart where you, some point in time, are going to get an opportunity, you think, to really get even with that person or persons who've hurt you. We've got to let them go completely. He says here, put all those things, those hurts. And so the first step in putting away your hurts is to let them go. Let them go immediately and let them go completely. That sounds almost impossible to today, doesn't it? How are we going to do that, preacher? Well, if you ever intend to have the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, if you ever want to live the abundant life in Christ on this earth, you're going to have to learn to let those hurts go. Let them go immediately and let them go completely. I ask my heart as much as I ask yours, have you done that? Or are you willing to do what the Word of God says and begin to do that today before dark? Before sundown, Paul says. So the first step in putting away those hurts is to just let them go. Sounds impossible? No, it's not. Impossible for me? Yes. Impossible for you? Yes. But not impossible for God. Is anything impossible with God? No. Is anything too difficult with God? No. So the first thing you have to learn to do is just let them go. Probably a hard thing to do, I admit, but it's not impossible. Second thing you see here, not just let those hurts go, but we've got to learn to leave them with God. Leave them with God. Go back to that Matthew 5 passage and look what Jesus said himself. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 43. Jesus says, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Then he goes on to talk about the sun and the rain falling on the just and the unjust as well. Now, he ends up that passage by saying, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now you know we're not going to be perfect here. That means be mature Christians is what that means. You can't have sinless perfection in a sin-filled world. Amen? We won't be sinlessly perfect. I'll get on the other side. Neither will anybody else. Here's what he says. Leave those hurts to God. Why do we think, when we're hurt, that we have to address that hurt ourselves? We feel like we have either got to retaliate or we've got to take on our problems one-on-one and we've got to make all those situations like they ought to be. Why do we feel that way? But you know we do. We feel almost obligated, don't we? To take on those hurts ourselves. Solve those problems that we run into with other people. The sooner we learn to leave those things in the hands of God, the better off all of us are going to be. All right, how do you handle them? How do you let them go? How do you leave them in God's hands? Well, when you do, here's what God does. He starts dealing with you and starts dealing with me in our memory, our remembrance. Listen to what he says in Ephesians again, chapter 4, verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God begins working on me. He begins working on you when you've been hurt. Not just the other person or persons. He begins with you. He wants us all to remember how that God made all things right in my life, and God made all things right in your life when He saved you, didn't He? Yes. We've got to remember that as God in Christ forgave me, we've got to remember to extend forgiveness to other people. Let me give you a good Bible example of that. Peter, the Apostle Peter. He went to Jesus, and he was going to be just real liberal. Well, that's not a good word, but real helpful. He went to Jesus and he said, Jesus, how many times if my brother sins against me, am I going to have to forgive him? Till seven times? Now, you know the Jewish rabbis taught that you were to forgive somebody only three times. And after the third time, you didn't need to forgive them anymore. Well, Peter's going to be just real generous. So he asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother if he sins against me, hurts me? Till seven times? And Jesus said, no, Peter, not seven times, but until 70 times seven. If my math's correct, that's 490 times. And do you know he was referring to that in one day? How in the world can somebody sin against you 490 times in one day? Almost sounds impossible, doesn't it? But if it could be possible, and if it happened, we are then obligated, as Christ forgave us, to forgive others with an unlimited forgiveness. Remember, God works on us. Well, leave them in God's hands, knowing this. He'll do what's best, and He'll do what's right. He'll do what's best for the one who's hurt. He'll do what's best for the one who hurt someone. He'll do what's best for the good. He'll do what's best for the ones who are not so good. He'll do what's best for the ones who are good to you or the ones who are not so good to you. Just leave them in God's hands. And I have to ask myself, as us, all of us, will you do that? We've got to do that. So he deals in my memory of what Christ has done for me. And then he talks about the resolution to it in verse 32. He says, you've got to forgive because God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. Now, remember how God worked in your heart and life. When you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He came into your heart, forgave you of your sins, made you a child of the King, and made everything right. Listen, if He's able to do that with you and me initially at salvation, don't you think He's still capable and He's still able to make broken fellowships or broken relationships right as they ought to be? You got to remember, the Lord said, vengeance is mine. I'll repay, says the Lord. I'm not the judge, the jury, or the executioner, and neither are you. The resolution is, leave it in God's hands. After all, let me ask you something. I wrote my last doctoral dissertation about recognizing and resolving interpersonal Christian conflict. And I came to the conclusion as I studied to write that dissertation, I can't resolve anything. You can't either. But God can resolve all things, you see, if we'll let Him, let them go, put them in His hands, trust Him, He'll do what's best and He'll do what's right. Well, so you've been hurt. Everybody else has been hurt too. Everybody else has either been hurt or going to be hurt sometime. We've all been hurt, every single one of us. We just have to learn by putting it in God's hands. He works on our memory. He works on a resolution. And notice this, what Jesus said. He's the one who brings the correct rewards through all things. In that Matthew chapter 5 passage, go back and look at verses 45 through verse 48. Matthew 5, verses number 45 through verse 48. He says, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain upon the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. There are some true rewards spoken of here in Matthew chapter 5. Now, if we leave our hurts to the Lord, let them go, put them in His hands, He will, in due time, according to His will and in His way, He will work out the deal completely, and those who need those rewards will get them in due time in His way. Well, I'm talking about letting your hurts go, putting your hurts away before they become hates in our lives. Because it says here, God loves the just, God loves the unjust. God loves the Christian, He loves the lost people. He loves those who are hurt, and listen, He also loves those who hurt other people. We've got to understand that. He loves them just like He loves you. He loves their family, He loves your family. He loves all of us with an unending, everlasting love. He loves the one who's right, and He loves the one who's wrong. Again, He loves the one who's been hurt and those who hurt others. And He will handle it if you let Him. He'll give out the rewards when and where they're due. Now, there's a third thing I want to share about putting away your hurts before they become hates. You've got to let them go immediately and completely. We've got to leave them in God's hands. He works on our memory, our remembrance, and He works out a resolution to all things, and He'll give out the rewards where they're due. But there's a third thing Jesus says here we've got to do. Not just let them go. Not just leave them in God's hands. He says, you've got to love your enemy. Boy, we struck a nerve there, didn't we? We've got to learn to love our enemy. Preacher, I can't love that person. What they've done to me, how they've treated me, how they've hurt me, over time even sometimes, not just one occasion, over many times, I find it hard to love that person. Well, Jesus has already commanded us to love that person. I mean, it's a matter of obeying God's word or not. Whether you feel like it or whether you don't. Whether you like it or whether you don't. It's a command of God. Well, wouldn't we all have to say together, it's difficult at best. It certainly is. It's difficult at best. Do you know why? I can tell you why it makes it so difficult for us to love our enemies. Two things. We are taught by example of other people of how they treat their enemies. And so we look at their example before us and we feel like, well, if old brother so-and-so or old sister so-and-so can take that kind of attitude, then that'd be all right for me to do that too. We're taught by example to not forgive people and to hate our enemies sometimes. But also we're taught by tradition. We've been brought up in it. We've been taught it all of our lives. So how do you break out of these traditions? How do you break out of these situations? He says, learn to love your enemies. How are you going to do that? Through three things, he says right here. First of all, it's through supplication for those who maybe have hurt you. He says in verse 44, listen. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. That's the first thing, supplication for the one who maybe has hurt you. That almost sounds like it's impossible, doesn't it? To pray for the one, he says, and ask God to bless the one who might have hurt you. Listen, it's going to be very difficult, if possible at all, for us to hate anybody that we're praying to God and asking God to bless that person. You can't do that. It's hard to do. To ask God to bless somebody who's hurt you and on the same time hate them for what they've done to you. When we learn to make supplication for those who've hurt us unto the Lord, then ask God to bless them, the one who's hurt you, we will be well on the way to having victory over the hurts that we encounter in our lives day by day. So it's through supplication, first of all. Dear Lord, would you bless that person who's hurt me? I'm going to leave it in your hands. I'm going to let it go, let you deal with it. Would you please just bless them? Supplication's one thing. Then he says it comes into dedication. Look in that same verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Then he says, do good to them that hate you. You could just as well say, do good to them who've hurt you, who've persecuted you, who have slandered you, whatever it is they've done. He says, do good to them who maybe don't do so good to you. Amen? Now, that gets pretty tough to do sometimes. That's where the so-called rubber meets the road. That's where we live day by day, isn't it? We must learn to do it. Supplication and then dedication. We must learn the golden rule in a lifestyle. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, look at the one who's hurt you. What would you have them to do for you? Do good to you or hurt you? Well, you know the answer to that. So you must do unto them what you would have them do to you. You want to be treated right, don't you? You want to be loved and not hated, don't you? Well, then do good to those who maybe have not done so good. Love them and ask God to bless them and forgive them. Do good things for them if you have an opportunity. Well, sometimes it's tough. It takes good Christian fortitude to deal with hurts in our lives, to make supplication for those that may not like us or that we may not like them, what they've done. It takes dedication of the Lord to have an opportunity to do good. You've got to start learning to do it, Paul says, before dark. Don't let the sun go down and you carry that wrath or that old meanness or anger or hurt or whatever it is. Don't you carry it home and sleep with it. Get up the next day and take it to work. Deal with it all week with your family. Come back to church the next Sunday still puffed up and mad like a toad frog. Honestly now, listen. We've got to learn to do better, hadn't we? It comes through supplication, dedication. Then he says, it comes through meditation too. Same verse 44. Then he says, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. We've not only got to pray for ourselves, we have got to pray for the other person. We've got to learn to do that. Well, you don't know, preacher, how that person's hurt me. Oh, I've heard it so many times. You don't know what they've done to me. You don't know how they've done this or that or whatever, 40 other things they may say. I'll tell you something else. You can't pray for somebody and hate them at the same time. Can't do that. Try it sometime if you don't believe it. Try to pray for someone's best from the Lord and ask God to bless them and at the same time hate them. You can't do that. No way. Look at Jesus' example here. Start learning to follow Jesus' example and give some serious time in meditating before God on behalf of those or that person who might have hurt you, despitefully used you, persecuted you, hated you, mistreated you, whatever term you want to use. This is a way to have victory over the hurts that we have to come into our lives. We've got to put them away, folks. Let them go before they become hates. I want to close with this. I don't know your heart. I don't know anybody's heart but mine. But it works with anybody. If there's something in your life right now that you need to deal with, a hurt, whatever it may be, that you need to deal with right now, you need to begin to let God work on it in your life right now. Learn. Will it be easy? Not so easy sometimes. But will it work? Oh, yes. Will it be profitable? Yes, it will. Not only for you, but for only the person or persons who might have hurt you. So really, as a Christian, we don't have any choice except put those hurts away. And if we don't, they will become hates. And they'll consume us like a spiritual cancer in our lives. God doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want that for me. He doesn't want that for our church or any other church, any other Christian for that matter. So it's not dark yet. You've still got time to deal with it. Amen.